Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
To our podcast, the High Thrive Coaching, the Thriving Marriage Podcast. My name, of course, is Mark Johnston. I am the head relationship coach, marriage coach here at High Thrive Coaching. And, you know, here with the podcast, we like to come out weekly with tips and suggestions on how to handle those really difficult moments in your marriage. Today, I want to talk about separation, how to handle separation and other really big shifts in your relationship. I know a lot of you out there are suddenly finding things between you and your spouse to be, well, they're very different. And in just a moment, I want to talk about what is absolutely needed in order to turn a separation around and possibly even turn it into a positive point in your relationship. But before we get to that, I want to get into our client win of the week. So this one comes from our Thriving Marriage Facebook page. One of our clients recently wrote here, "My husband came to me and broke down in tears asking for forgiveness for everything he has done and said he will do whatever it takes to fix our marriage and not lose me. He said he was an idiot for ever thinking he would be happy without me in his life and said he will never be able to find another woman like me. I'm typing this as we're just finished putting face masks on each other and are going to cuddle in bed and watch one of our new favorite shows together. Hope and consistency are all you need." I mean, this is a huge win. This person absolutely is correct. Hope and consistency are, you know, a big part of what you need. I see a lot of marriages turn around that last in moment, right before it could have gone really bad, do a lot to that consistency. A lot of times what this communicates to those partners who are pulling away, they say, okay, a lot of the good things that are happening, a lot of the changes that are happening are real. And they needed that assurance to really make that decision to come back. So congratulations on this win. All right, so into our topic for today, handling separation. Now, I wonder if any of you have experienced this, a sudden shift in your relationship and without warning, just everything is different. A lot of you maybe have had no idea that this was coming, but now your relationship is turned upside down. Perhaps your husband says that he wants to still be able to be friends, but he won't talk to you. Or maybe your wife will linger around your place if you've been separated, but she doesn't want you to call. Maybe you say that you want to stand for your marriage, but that only seems to make your spouse more upset. And what is going on here is that the expectations within the relationship, within your marriage, they've changed dramatically. And part of the problem is that those expectations haven't been communicated well, and you and your spouse just seem to be pulling further and further away. Now, believe it or not, this is a common problem at this stage in a relationship, especially as a marriage begins to come apart or change. See, at one point, the both of you were probably very, very certain with what the expectations were in your relationship. Perhaps you knew that it was okay to sit by your spouse. Now it's not. Perhaps you knew who was gonna take care of the dishes. Perhaps you knew who was gonna put the children to bed. Perhaps you knew who was going to come home from work if one of the children was sick. You both knew what the expectations were, and those expectations are now changed, and the two of you simply can't seem to get along anymore. Now, if this sounds at all like you, I do want to mention that I do go in depth into this in our monthly subscription training. In that training, I talk about how to clear up communication and expectations, how to approach these changes with respect, how to create an atmosphere of calm and connection, even during separation, and how to set boundaries surrounding these new changes. So if you do need extra help with this, you can go over to our website, www.highthrivecoaching.com, and you click on the tab at the top. It talks about courses. Go to our marriage mastery course. Today, however, I'm going to focus mostly on clearing up communication so that you can at least start working towards some of these other goals. Now, I want to start off this discussion of communication by sharing an analogy in one of my favorite speeches of all time. The speech is called The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale. Now, if you have never heard of this, if you're like, okay, who's Earl Nightingale? What's this, The Strangest Secret? What does that matter? I will say this was a game changer for me. This is something that I listened to on a daily basis for a long time, just because it was that good. I don't really like repetition. I don't like listening to the same things over and over again, but this one was different. So in the speech, at one point, Mr. Nightingale, he gives an analogy of a ship, comparing ships to people who do or do not make goals. Now, he says that the ship, essentially, he says that the ship that has its voyage mapped out with a captain and crew, it's going to arrive at its destination the majority of the time. It has a definite goal. The other ship really doesn't have its voyage mapped out. You know, no crew, doesn't know where it's going. If that is your kind of ship, if you send that ship out from the harbor, where does it go? Very likely it's going to go nowhere. It's either going to go nowhere or it's going to end up, running ashore at some point and just not really get to anywhere good in particular. In this case, the ships are goals. Essentially, if you have a captain, if you have a crew, if you know where, if you have a heading, if you have a very definite goal, you are much, much more likely to get what you're looking for. If you don't have anything steering you, if you don't have a firm grasp on the direction that you're heading, you're not likely to get to anywhere meaningful. Now, here's the thing. Oftentimes when a spouse starts to pull away, I hear them say certain things. They say, well, I'm just not happy anymore. I don't want to be with you. It's over. I just want to be free. And these statements are often responses when you try to pursue the relationship in any way. Now, some of you may be nodding your head and saying, okay, yeah, I've heard these things before from my spouse. But I wonder if you hear what I'm hearing. These statements all have one thing in common. By themselves, they're vague. They don't explain what's wanted. For instance, I just want to be free. What does that actually mean? Does that mean that they don't want you to call them anymore? Does that mean that they don't want you to, invite them over for, a family dinner with the kids? Does that mean that they absolutely would hate it if you would text them? If they're saying, I'm just not happy anymore, does that mean that they don't want to be friends? Does that mean that you can't call? Does that mean that you can't sit by them on the couch? Or, if it's over, does that mean that they absolutely don't want communication, that they're unwilling to work on being good co-parents together? I mean, yes, in some ways these statements are definitive. They're trying to communicate something, but there is a lot that's being left unsaid in these cases. And these things that are left unsaid are where a lot of the clashes start to happen when these things are brought up. So perhaps you thought, okay, my spouse said that we should be friends. That means I can call them. But then your wife or your husband gets upset when you call them. Here was an expectation. They shouldn't call me during these hours, but you had an expectation. Oh, if we're friends, I should be able to call. And you have this clash. And every time you have these clashes, it just confirms that pulling away is the right decision. It screams that you do not respect them, that you are not listening, that you don't care what they're saying. This is why a couple struggle so much more as they start to pull away from each other. It's absolutely something you don't want either. Because if there are more struggles at this stage, it just continues it makes them pull away quicker. Now, what do you do with this? I'm guessing many of you have already tried to clear up communication. You may have asked your spouse, okay, what do you really want? Or made some bids to be able to support them. But you just keep getting met with, the response, as I mentioned earlier. They say, don't you get it? I'm done. I don't want to be with you. I'm just not happy, or whatever it happens to be. They believe that they are being very clear, and you're still left very confused. Now, the main problem here, and the reason why your spouse likely does not want to talk about what it is, or you know, what's going on, or what their goals are, or what they actually want, or that they are having a difficulty settling on some things, it boils down to a few possibilities. Number one, they don't believe your motives. They believe that you are simply trying to pull them back into the marriage. Now, I'm going to state this another way. They currently are considering leaving, and your intentions there scream that you're only thinking about what you want to them. You know, that's what they're seeing there. So if you say, if they say, I'm done, and you say, okay, let's talk about co-parenting, and there's a miscommunication there, they're saying, okay, this is just Jim or Susie or whoever trying to come in from the side, and they're just focusing on what they want. They're just trying to get me back. Number two, they don't see any reason to have these conversations. Basically, they believe that further communication on the matter serves no purpose. The problem here, though, isn't coming up with a valid reason to continue speaking. You might be able to get them to speak with you. You might, really the best you could do to go this route is to guilt them into speaking with you. You say, well, think about the children. Think about, you know, how long we've been together. And, you know, if they're needing that logical side to convince them, they're just going to, if you feel like you're having to persuade them, you're going to be fighting an uphill battle. Most of the time, the reason, you know, this is, it's not like that there's no reason. They acknowledge that, hey, there's, yeah, you have kids, or you do need to talk about some things, but essentially the problem here is deeper communication with you has become uncomfortable. And answering questions or communicating with you only presents discomfort. That's a problem. If they felt uncomfortable, if they felt a lack of love, and here they further feel more discomfort and lack of love, they're not going to talk with you. Number three, they might be babysitting your emotions, or, you know, in the case of discomfort, perhaps their own. They might not want to discuss these matters if they believe that you are going to become emotional, or if you're going to get really hurt from the discussion. After all, they probably still care for you, and your spouse, they're not a monster. They're not this terrible, terrible person. But even beyond that, though, the vast majority of people don't take pleasure in the pain of others. All right, so here's the thing. Like I said, your spouse is not a monster. They don't take pleasure in the pain of others. It hurts to see your face as your spouse tells you that they don't feel love for you anymore. So they're just not going to engage in that conversation. Now, therefore, if you're going to clear up communication, if you're actually going to go through like a checklist and say, okay, let's talk about parenting. What are the expectations here? Let's talk about finances. What are the expectations here? You know, if you're going to talk about those things and clear up those expectations, it means you have to take care of these problems here. It means your motive cannot simply be to get your spouse back into the marriage. It means that if your spouse is uncommitted, you do not hound them to fix things or come back. You're going to be creating a lot of discomfort. It also means that if your spouse needs to feel understood, and supported to the best of your ability. There will absolutely be discomfort in your conversations if your spouse believes you to be working towards your own self-serving goals. It also means that you have to come to a place of acceptance in your relationship. If it's come to the point, this point here, it won't really do any good to be an emotional wreck around your partner. To be blunt, nobody is going to be attracted to this intense emotional wreck. They're not going to want to come back to that. They're not going to want to re-engage. Now, this means you have to take care of these problems. And once you do, it becomes much easier to clear up communication. In our subscription material, I do give a checklist on things to go over, areas to clear up expectations. So just for today, we don't have the time or the scope in the podcast to go over every little thing. But now, of course, like I said, we've only scratched the surface of everything that's needed. There's still more to this than just clearing up that communication. A lot of what needs to happen once that goes on, there needs to be an ability to build up respect again in the relationship, for your partner to feel as though you were respecting their choices. There needs to be an ability to build up a sense of calm and connection, even during separation. You can do that even if your partner is pulling away. You can do that if done correctly. And further, there needs to be appropriate boundaries so that you can maintain your own self-respect. Like I said, I go over these things in depth in our training and our monthly training. So if you're if this sounds like something that you need, you can always try out our subscription material for free, a free trial. Just head over to our website, www.highthrivecoaching.com. And you click on the courses tab, going to our marriage mastery course. So with that said, I hope this was at all helpful. And I do think that this stage is a really tricky stage. Of course, if you need, everyone's going to have different needs, different problems with this stage. So if you haven't already done it, even if you don't work with us, I do suggest that you work with a professional of some sort, someone who actually kind of knows how to navigate these things and can be a neutral third party, because it can be very difficult to know what is the right move to make. So with that said, I want to move on to our marriage myth buster for the day. So big marriage myth buster here is the idea that separation and time apart can heal a marriage. I hear this all the time. They say, well, what about a 30-day no contact rule? That's a very common suggestion within, when you're dealing with relationship trouble. You say, okay, 30 days no contact. Maybe they'll miss me, you say. Maybe they'll realize just what they don't have and they'll come running back. And this might even be confirmed a little bit if you back off, say, a few days or a week, and then your spouse starts calling you and they start chasing after you. And there are lots of different dynamics going on here. So one, part of why this seems to be true is the idea of a pursuer and avoider sort of dynamic in a relationship. So if you are constantly the pursuer and you're chasing your partner constantly and you back off, that allows your partner to come forward a little bit more. In these sort of dynamics, the general suggestion, if this is a really strong dynamic in your relationship, it's a big thing to really ramp down on the pursuit and ramp down on the avoidance. And oftentimes professionals need to kind of work through those things. But that's why it seems to be true. You say, okay, separation heals, but it's not really the case. It's just more of like, okay, how much chase is happening? What really goes on during a separation? Separation and time apart really only does one thing. If there's a lot of intensity, if there's a lot of problems, it provides relief from each other. Here's the thing. Separation by itself does not heal anything. Your partner who is backing away and maybe they got their own place. They might say, I'm happier than ever. But this is other things that are going on. Perhaps they've been able to remove a lot of the responsibilities with parenting. Perhaps they have removed a lot of responsibilities from house maintenance, or they don't have people constantly asking them to attend to them. It provides some relief. Or maybe, if you did have a lot of fights and arguments, it provides relief from that. But it does not heal by itself, because once you reintroduce yourself back into this situation, if you were to come back together without having done anything, you're right back to where you started. That those responsibilities come back, the pressure comes back, the problems don't go anywhere. The only thing that really does make this work is, you actively have to identify what the problems are and address those. So essentially, separation does nothing. It can be successful, however, if there are clear goals and clear expectations. Do you, for instance, during a separation, do you actually know what the purpose of the separation is? Do you have some expectations or goals concerning personal therapy, couples therapy? Do you have some goals or expectations concerning spending time together or being able to communicate? If you do, you know, much like we were talking today, if you don't clear up a lot of this communication or clear up the expectations, that separation actually leads to further problems, and you typically ends up ending in divorce. So don't go into separation thinking that's all that needs to happen. We'll have some time apart, we'll clear the air, and everything's going to be okay. Doesn't work. If this is the direction you're heading in, I highly, highly recommend that you take the time to very much clear up what are the expectations for the separation. What are we trying to accomplish? How are we going to accomplish that specifically? And under what conditions will we come back together? It's under those conditions that the trial separation can be successful. Oftentimes, though, if you were taking the same efforts otherwise, you could have much the same success. A trial separation, though, can provide other things. For instance, it escalates the situation a little bit. For instance, if before your partner really wasn't taking the effort to make any changes, that separation can really communicate, hey, this is very serious. It may provide that motivation. But once again, that motivation needs a direction. It needs a specific goal, specific expectations, and specific conditions to end the separation. I hope that was useful. As I said, we go over a lot of these sort of things in a lot of depth in our monthly trainings. So if you're looking for just an easy way to get some extra information, a low commitment sort of path here, check out our Marriage Mastery course on our website, www.highthrivecoaching.com. Next week, we are going to go in depth into one of your specific problems. I'm going to be looking through the posts here in the Thriving Marriage group, and I'm going to be choosing one that I think is that's a little bit more widely applicable. And I'm going to be going in depth in terms of what I see going on and what needs to be done to fix that. So I would like all of you to post this week. Say, hey, put it into your post. Say, hey, please, admins, hey, you over at High Thrive Coaching, take a look at this. I want to see if you can help me out with this situation. Give as much information as possible. We're going to be looking through the post, and we want to help one of you. So with that, I'm really excited for our podcast next week. So get out there, post some, and I'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.